Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, beachgoers in western Florida were shocked when a bear emerged from the Gulf of Mexico.
Tony Kornheiser, was it Ditka?
Huh? No, he's in Florida, but, you know,
was
I think they're
Cutler?
Talking about the brown bear was variety, it? I think.
So it wasn't Rex Grossman either?
No, you know, see, I'm out here in Colorado where people see bear routinely. Yeah.
Have you seen bears
all
while
the
you're
time.
Out there?
Yes, I have.
Have you seen them?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Bears would
many trips
scare
to Colorado.
Me. I'd go back in
scare
the house
the hell
bears.
Out of me. Yes.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, can the Panthers battle back? Is Djokovic the GOAT? And did a security guard's tackle overshadow Nick Taylor's winning putt? But we begin today with tonight's Game 5, the NBA Finals in Denver. The Nuggets lead 3-1, and particularly in the last couple of games, have looked superior to Miami. Wilbon, you're in Denver for this game. What are the chances the Heat stay alive tonight?
Tony, I guess with the Heat, you know, there's always a puncher's chance, and they're going to punch. They're going to fight and scrap and do the things we expect them to do. And it may not be enough. It hasn't been enough the last couple of games. But I'd give it like a 45% chance. And the Nuggets seem to know this. They've voiced it. They have all said out loud and apparently privately to each other, we know they're going to fight. We know this is going to be the hardest game to win in this series. That's what we're expecting. And I think that's the only way to go because Miami has won with a puncher's chance against the Knicks, who were favored to win the series, against the Milwaukee Bucks, number one seed, who were favored to win the series, against the Boston Celtics, who were favored to win the series. And Miami just found its way out of this. And, Tony, Denver seems, I don't know, more in control. I think you and I agree on this than the other teams did. But there's a chance, a puncher's chance.
Yeah. So I'm not going to count out Miami. That would be crazy. They've won too many games on the road in all these playoff series to do that. But I will point this out, Mike. The Miami Heat is a fading team right now. They have lost 6 out of their last 8 games, I believe. Let me get the numbers right. They've lost 4 straight at home. So even if they win this game and get to go back to Miami, I don't know that that is of great benefit to them. I have been particularly impressed by Michael Malone, the coach of Denver. I've been impressed by the way he knows his team, impressed by what he did after game 2, calling them out publicly, and impressed by the way they responded to him. Mike, you know me a long time. I don't like coaches who keep their foot on the gas pedal all the time. But it looks like this guy knows this team. And again, I like Miami fine. I love Spoelstra. I think Jimmy Butler is a great player. What they are up against here, Mike, is a hungry team. This team is not like Boston or Milwaukee. They have no laurels to sit on. They've never won anything. That's why I like them tonight, because they're
Tone,
hungry.
Agreed. They're up against a hungry team with a duo that as we go forward, not yet, could be historically great as a duo. I mean, when you look at Joker and Jamal Murray, they've got the makings of it. Now, you got to deliver. You got to deliver more than once in this league, in this sport, to be historically great. But they've got the makings of that. And, Tony, I just think that, to borrow a phrase from Steve Kerr, an observation about his team, I think Miami's kind of maxed out. And there's honor in that. I know they're you know, if they heard that, they would say, shut up, we're going to win this series, because I've heard them say that. I don't know that I believe that. I think that somehow Denver wins this series, whether tonight or back in Miami, so I'm like you in that. Mm-hmm. But I think they do it tonight. I think they celebrate here at home. I think they are urgently looking at the Miami Heat saying, we don't want any more of this if we don't have to have it. Let's end it. Like the Nuggets. The Golden Knights are up 3-1 in the Stanley Cup final. The Panthers have come back from this deficit before in the opening round series against the Bruins. But, Tony, does that 3-1 lead this time feel different?
It does to me. I look at these games and I see that Vegas seems to be bigger and stronger and maybe even faster. But having said this, I give the Florida Panthers a better chance of keeping their series alive when they play Game 5 than I give the Miami Heat. They won one game in Florida. In the second game in Florida the other night, they were down 3-0. They almost made it all the way back. I mean, Kachuk is in the goal mouth
He's
when
right
the thing
there.
Ends. And Basketball is different than hockey. In hockey, if it's a one-goal game, the goal can be a fluke. That fluky stuff does not really happen in basketball to the same degree. Florida, they're not going to be afraid of being on the road, Mike. They won three times on the road in Boston, three times on the road in Toronto, twice on the road in Carolina. I think they're 8-3 on the road. They're a better road team than they are a home team. Yeah, I think it's 8-3, yeah, to 5-4. So I don't think that you'd have to be crazy to pick them, and maybe they get some good luck on power plays. I think they're 0-13 in the series in power plays. That's all it takes. In hockey, it just takes one. That's all.
Yeah, Tony, I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with it, but Golden Knights could have won this series 4-0. I mean, they had a post and a crossbar, and they sort of took their foot off the gas, right, in game three. They could have swept this series already. And I think they look at the Florida Panthers with some of the same, suspicion that the Nuggets look at the Heat, saying, we know they're good. We're not going to mess around here. I think they sort of messed around in one game, which is why this series is still going. You're right about Tkachuk, but let me just say this, Tony. If he is injured in hockey, you don't know why anybody's injured or to what extent, because it's not like the NFL where they have to admit some stuff on the record. If Tkachuk is less than himself than he was when he was dominating the first couple of series, then I don't see the Panthers having a clear path. And I know he was in front of the goal and could have tied that game and sent it to overtime the other night.
That's right.
But
that's
looking at the Golden Knights finishing this, I am.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm just going to say I'm not going to be surprised if Florida wins, not going to be surprised if Vegas wins. I'm going to be surprised if the Miami Heat wins. That's my position today. Novak Djokovic won the French Open in straight sets yesterday over Casper Ruud of Norway. This was Djokovic's 23rd major. That's one more than any male player in tennis history. It was his second straight major this year, his 11th major win in the last 18 majors he has entered. Wilbon, where does this put Djokovic in the GOAT debate?
Number one. It does, Tony. And to me, the numbers become more important in this argument because you have three people playing at the same time, playing each other almost an equal number of times. And so Djokovic, I mean, just forget the slams for a second, which he now leads by one. Okay, you got that. But Tony, he leads Nadal by one in their personal matchup head-to-head. He's like 27-23 against Federer in their personal matchup. There's no way I'm going to take style points away from him. He's big, fast, strong. He's got every shot in the arsenal. He plays the angles artistically nearly as brilliantly as Federer. He's more fit, it seems, than Nadal. I shouldn't say more fit. It's just Nadal is like a linebacker, and his body seems to be wearing out on him. And I don't know if he can get another one. Tony, Joker's going to get probably one or two more, and he's going to stretch that lead minimum. And if he wins the slam, if he does something, Tony, that we think of in men's tennis as belonging last to Rod Laver in like 1966. I'm not looking at the record book, but I think it was 66. Tony, he's going to be out there. He could set this out there.
Yeah. So I'll get to the GOAT debate in a second, but if we're going to talk about GOATdom, how about the fact that Tom Brady was there in Paris to watch this?
Yeah,
how about
that
Kylian Mbappe being there and our pal Zlatan there? I think that the GOATs, they just sort of know each other and they respect each other so much that they want to be there for one or the other. And when Kevin Weeks said to us that Jordan and Gretzky were playing golf together, I got that feeling. Look, the case that I'll make for Djokovic goes like this. If you take away the one major that he has the most of, the 10
Australia.
He still has 13. But if you take away Federer's Wimbledons, he has 12. If you take away Nadal's French Opens, he has 8. If you take away Sampras's Wimbledons, he has 7. That's the case you make for Djokovic. Not only that, but in the 13 that he has, other than the 10, he's got at least 3 of each, which nobody else has. I have Laver 1 just because I watched Laver and because I believe, Mike, that when Laver turned pro in the prime of his career, he was then banned from the majors because there were only amateurs there.
And by the way, it was 69 when he slammed. 69.
Okay, and I've got Federer for this reason, that Federer has 13 U.S. Opens and Wimbledons, which I think are the most prestigious and the hardest, and Djokovic has 10. But Djokovic is in the conversation.
Yeah,
there is no question
look,
about it.
Look, he's I can't there. Argue Laver. I can't argue against Laver. First of all, Laver was the great player of my youth. But, Tony, it's hard to argue the contemporaries over Joker. Because they've gone head-to-head for the past dozen years, you know?
And he's got him. Djokovic has him. He's got him slim, but he's got him. Let's take a break. Coming up, will we remember the Canadian Open for Nick Taylor's winning putt or security guard's takedown?
And a college pitcher threw 156 pitches to keep his team alive last night. How many's too many? I said last dozen years. It's like the last 16 or 18 years for these guys. They've been playing each other since they were teenagers.
I'm also partial to Borg because I loved watching him.
Yeah, but
and he
Borg
was out
shouldn't
early.
Have quit, but he left. Yeah, he's
yeah,
26 years
so
old.
So early.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona, part of Happy Hour.
It's time to find out what's ruffling the riffraff.
Mail time!
See what's first. Here we go.
I'm going to call him riffraff on a Monday afternoon?
Will you remember, it's written by producers, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Will you remember the Canadian Open for Nick Taylor's putt or the security guard's tackle?
Yeah, I don't care about the security guard's tackle. And I had turned away by then anyway. It's the putt. It's the whatever it is, a 72-foot putt. This is, I know you hate to say there's scream out loud moments as if you just sit there and watch quietly. If you didn't scream out loud during this, you're not human. This was unbelievable. I mean, I don't care about the tackle. He was trying to get to his boy and celebrate. The guard's on, there's a golfer. He didn't have a jersey on. He don't know who he is. But Tony, this was the most dramatic Sunday in golf this year for me. More than the Masters, more than the Players, more than any of that. Because you had a Canadian breaking a 61-year drought, and they were singing the Canadian national anthem at the tee box after tee box. It was so exciting and so engaging, and the pressure must have been so great for him to know. He knew what was at stake. And then to throw this putt in, the longest putt made of his career, was a stunner. Best finish and best event in golf this year.
Agree with everything you've said. I will say this about the tackle, that it reminded me, and I'm sure it reminded you as well, of Mike Curtis and the Baltimore Colts when the guy runs onto the field. And the fact that it was a Canadian golf pro, Adam Hadwin, made it sort of funny. But yes, 72 feet, 6 inches. I think what people have to understand if they don't understand golf is this. This is a sudden death situation. 72 feet, 6 inches is three putt territory, kids. Yeah. It's not one putt or two putt territory. He could have been outside where Tommy Fleetwood was. You know, it goes in and it's an eagle. And all Fleetwood can do is smile. There's nothing else you can do. This kid wins the Canadian Open. Mike, if he wins five majors in his life, and we both doubt he will, If he wins five majors in his life, it will not be as big a deal as winning the national tournament of your home country.
69-year drought, by the way. 69. You're so right. Yeah. I was in Toronto when the Raptors won. And it is like nothing I have seen in the United States from a league championship perspective. Mike, it's not the Olympics, but it's
Sidney
close for
Crosby.
Them.
It's Sidney Crosby getting the golden goal at the Olympics. It's Joe Carter getting a walk-off with the Blue Jays, and he's not even Canadian.
It's important, man. It's huge.
Oh, boy. Are 156 pitches cause for celebration or concern?
Both, Tony. The kid's name is Quinn Matthews. He's a senior at Stanford. They're going to go again tonight, but it doesn't mean Stanford and Texas. But this ain't softball. He's not going to be out there again. 156 pitches, Tony. You know now that when after you go 70, some manager is being told by a general manager to get out of the dugout and go yank a grown man, much less a college pitcher. Look, this used to happen all the time. All the time. When I was in high school, I threw 100 pitches. And nobody does it now. And I think kids who play more sports, multiple sports, are better at it and less likely to have Tommy John. But you know this will cause for hysteria. This kid's on the draft board, been drafted once. Good for him. I got water in here, but I want to raise a toast to Quinn. Going 156 in this era of softness. Charmin softness.
So what you wonder about is, does he do this because he loves alma mater? That this is for Stanford to win the College World Series means more than anything else in his life. And I understand that. He's pitched 100 pitches or more in 15 of his 17 starts this year.
Iron Man, baby.
Look, 50 years ago, if he's on the draft board, he's the number one pick. And people compare him to Steve Carlton and Tom Seaver and Fergie Jenkins and Jim Palmer, right? Yep. But now scouts are going to go, whoa, has he already thrown his arm
when
out?
When does he have
Tommy
John?
Do we want this kid? So, yeah. So it does become dicey. But in terms of the question, yes, it is both. Yes, both. It is both.
Didn't you love it when you first heard it or read it? Didn't you love the fact that this kid did that?
156. Nobody throws 150 anymore in the pros. No. Nobody. Enough female. Let's take one last break. Still to come. The United States Senate sniffs around the planned merger between the PGA and Saudi tours. I knew they would.
Manchester City wins a Champions League, Tone. I had that, but so did a lot of other people. Remember Reggie Cleveland? Reggie Cleveland threw 148 one night, a game I was covering. I think he was pitching for Cleveland against the O's. 148, baby. Nobody batted a lot.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 49th birthday, Hideki Matsui. Matsui was the MVP of the 2009 World Series when the Yankees beat Philadelphia in six games. In that series, Matsui batted .615, three homers, eight RBI, including six RBI in the clinching game. Those six RBI tied the record for runs batted in one World Series game with Bobby Richardson in 1960, Albert Pujols in 2011, and Addison Russell in 2016. Matsui was a two-time All-Star in the major leagues. In Japan, he was a nine-time All-Star and a three-time MVP. Matsui is not the greatest Japanese hitter in our major leagues. Ichiro is, but Matsui was likely the greatest Japanese slugger until Shohei Ohtani got here.
And Tony, it would have been interesting to see if Matsui had played a longer period of time in the major leagues, you know, sort of the debt he would have put into it. I understand why he played all those years in Japan at home, but, you know, you're curious about that when you have great international stars if they played a longer tenure in Major League Baseball.
Happy anniversary, Justin Verlander. On this day 16 years ago, while pitching for the Tigers, Verlander threw the first of his three no-hitters by shutting down the Brewers. Verlander struck out 12. He hit 102 miles per hour on a fastball in the ninth. Verlander not exactly lighting it up for the Mets this year after that Cy Young season in Houston. Verlander 2-3, a 4.85 ERA. In his last start, Verlander lasted only three innings, giving up four earned on seven hits and four walks. And afterwards, Verlander said, quote, "This isn't easy. It's not easy for the team, not easy for me. I have always been accountable. This isn't good enough. I will work as hard as anyone to find it," unquote. Good for him.
It is, so you know he'll do that. And I'm gonna cheer as hard for Verlander as I do anybody outside of a Chicago uniform to become himself again soon and stay that way the rest of the season.
Happy trails to the Champions League title for Inter Milan. Man City beat the Italian squad for the title 1-0 on Saturday in Istanbul. Rodri scored, I hope it's Rodri, not Rodri, scored the only goal of the game in the 68th minute. Pep Guardiola's team had been a big favorite,
look at
but
that
struggled
goal.
Often
Rodri.
Throughout the game,
Rodri.
Needing goalkeeper Ederson to come through with several big stops down the stretch to seal the win. Man City now adds the Champions League title to those of the Premier League and the FA Cup that it won earlier this season. I'm told they call that the treble, Wilbon. Guardiola said afterwards that Man City's season was, quote, written in the stars.
Well, Tony, it was written in money because apparently, reportedly, and if you read, if you're going to read anything about this, read Rory Smith in the New York Times writing about this championship and the sort of landscape in world soccer, world football changing, and Manchester City's right at the center of it with this treble. And so is Guardiola, who did this for Barcelona. And that's why they went out and got him. And apparently, reportedly, Man City has spent $2 billion in recent years to sort of guarantee this. And the pieces he writes in the Times explain this and how oil money really is sort of directing world soccer right now. Fascinating pieces, fascinating story, Man City and what it just did.
Oil money directing golf as well. Big finish quickly.
Yeah.
Igor Swiatek won her fourth French Open, her fourth major rather, third French Open. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, one U.S. Open in there too. 22 years old, yes, a big deal. Maybe succeeding Serena, maybe. A Senate subcommittee will investigate the planned merger between the PGA and Saudi Tours. Your thoughts?
It's standard for organizations to investigate this, not for the U.S. Senate to do it. Andrew McCutcheon recorded his 2,000th hit. Is that significant?
Yes. At 36, you wonder, though, after average like 150 hits a year for 6.5 more years, get to 3,000. I'd be up for seeing that, Chase. Probably not.
Not getting there. Not getting
there. Arcangelo won the Belmont. Is that who you picked, Mr. Horsey?
No. I had National Treasure. Last one. A's have won 5 straight. They're going to make it 6 tonight.
They've won 7 of 12. Nah, I'm still picking against them, against the Rays.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. Countdown twice tonight, 7:30 on ESPN, 8 o'clock leading into the game on ABC. Put the remote down. Watch Countdown.
I'm going to tape them both to see if you say anything different.